red, red wine goes to your head?
That's what she, that's what they're saying, yeah.
It's Bill. It's Wendy. We're on the stream. Hope you've joined us. And if you have, you can call us at 312-235-2525.
It's Streamalicious.
I like that.
That's what the kids are saying.
That can be our new tagline.
Yeah, it's Streamalicious.
I found this on the Daily Mail. I'm getting all my news from British sources today.
Yeah, yeah. How about that?
A glass of Merlot wine can give your brain a workout. Drinking wine engages the organ, your brain, mm-hmm. more than any other human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So this, of course, was something I was interested in.
This is the strangest thing, because about once a month, if you watch your local news, they tease the story. They'll go, yeah, a survey just says that wine might actually be good for you. And then everybody sitting behind the desk looks at each other like, well, how about that? I never heard of that.
But then a month
they'll do it again, and then a month they'll do it again.
Or they'll come back and say it's, as previously reported, it turns out we're wrong.
Yeah, wine will actually kill you. We thought it was good for you, but no, just the opposite.
You know, you hear about these people who live to be 103 mm-hmm. and 108. I don't know what the world record is for age.
Mm-hmm.
But all things in moderation is really the bottom line. All things.
Yeah, I would think if you don't overdo it, it's probably not the worst thing in the world for you. Now, how does it stimulate your brain activity? What's in the wine that's making your brain jump?
There's this professor named Gordon Shepherd, and he said red and white wine can work out the brain. Here's what's going on. A glass of Merlot or Sauvignon Blanc could give your brain an all-over workout. Drinking wine engages more of the brain than, quote, any other human behavior, according to one of the leading neuroscientists out there.
But haven't we been told that alcohol kills brain cells? So it kills some brain cells but stimulates others?
I don't think one glass of wine kills brain cells. I think, like, chronic alcoholism kills brain cells.
Right.
And does it really? I mean, we've been told that when we were in school.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's really true.
Oh, all right.
Professor Gordon Shepherd from the Yale School of Medicine, sounds legit.
Yeah.
Said drinking wine sparks a reaction in both the sensory and emotional parts of the brain. He added that spitting wine out while tasting prevents you from fully appreciating its complex flavor. I bet this guy owns a vineyard.
I'm not a religious person, but to me, that's a sin. And I see this at vineyards, and I see this where people will take just a little sip of it. They'll splash it around in their mouth a little bit, and then they spit it out. And you go, that's a waste of wine. What are you doing?
Every glass of wine is sacred.
Every glass of wine should be sacred. You're right.
Have you ever been to a wine tasting somewhere?
I have twice.
We went to Sonoma Valley, not Napa. I know that's the big one.
Yeah.
And I had never been to a wine tasting before.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get pretty tipsy.
Just a sip here and a sip there.
Yeah.
But it adds up at some point, doesn't it?
But there was no way on earth I was going to spit any of that out.
No, that seems
wrong. Who does that?
It's an insult to the grape.
Instead, drinkers should swallow every drop, he said in his new book.
Savor it.
Neuroenology, How the Brain Creates the Taste of Wine. Well, now he's just trying to sell a book.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, according to him, drinking wine is vital for, quote, obtaining the most information possible about the quality of the wine. Where does it get into your brain activity?
That's the part we want to know.
He's
saying only Merlot? Was that the one that he said is the good one for you?
He said Sauvignon Blanc as well. So red and white. Here's what he says. The movement of wine through the mouth and alcohol-infused air through the nose causes the brain to conjure up a flavor.
Oh.
The most important part of this brain activation comes when we breathe out wine-infused air after taking in a sniff.
We should put a vaporizer in here and just fill it with wine and see if this works.
The flavor is constructed in the brain in a similar way to color, but is also impacted by the drinker's emotional connection to the wine in their glass. The brain builds a picture of colors in the mind using information from the eyes about how light hits objects around us. This guy...
Mm-hmm.
Really, I could come up with a study.
But you have to space it out, like I said, once a month. Because you'll see it on the news every month. It turns out wine might actually be good for you. And they all look at each other like, imagine that.
So, well, he's not saying drinking the wine.
Just being near the wine.
He says the most important part of this brain activation comes when we breathe out wine-infused air after taking in a sniff. So you...
Yeah.
And that's supposed to... I like those kind of exercises, honestly.
Right, that's a fun time.
Crossword puzzles, don't need them.
You know my trainers, Ernest and Julio Gallo. They told me that this is the best thing in the world for me.
He went on to say in his experiments, he claims to have found evidence that drinking wine engages more of the brain than enjoying music or even solving a challenging math equation.
Why would that be, do you think? What's in there that's making that happen?
Well, here's what he says. The molecules in the wine don't have taste or flavor, but when they stimulate our brain, the brain creates flavor the same way it creates color.
Wait, so if what I'm hearing is true, the wine doesn't have flavor, your brain is creating the flavor for the wine? That can't be right, can it?
Factors that can change these things, gender, age, even the genetic makeup of our saliva can impact how wine tastes.
I'm not positive he's right.
But he's warning against knocking it back as big sips saturate your system.
Yeah.
Just little sips.
A little bit at a time.
Yeah. Again, all things in moderation. Like if you smoke a cigar every once in a blue moon, again, all things in moderation.
Yeah.
I really believe that. You can have candy in moderation. Don't eat a whole bag of Skittles.
LSD.
Well, I don't think that's good for you.
No, that's what I'm saying. All things in moderation doesn't hold up. Stabbing yourself in the head with scissors.
If just
you just once. Do it once in a while, that's not bad.
Well, things within reason, Bill. I guess not. We have to change that to say...
some things in moderation.
But like bacon, it's not good for you.
No.
But if you have it every day, it's not good for you. It's got nitrites in it. It's...
Once a year on your birthday.
Well, that's too infrequent.
If you have a slab of bacon.
A slab.
A birthday slab of bacon on your birthday, that's customary.
Is that what the girls get you every year?
Yeah. What's in this box? It's shaped like bacon. I wonder what it is.
It smells like bacon, but bacon has no flavor. We're just imagining it.
Our brain is creating a flavor for bacon.
All right. Well, sorry. Sometimes when I do my research, I like to discover it on the air with everyone else.
I'm not positive this guy is right.
I am not at all. Professor Gordon Shepherd.
I want a full rundown on him, Kevin. I want to look into him. I don't know. It's possible. He's written a book on it, and you and I have not.
Yeah, but anybody can write a book.
He's done some research, obviously.
You know, you can't give a mouse a cookie and somebody wrote that book.
It's true. It's very true. All right. Can I bring up something that you and I have discussed in the past, but I never knew that it went this deep? When I say the 27 Club to you, you know what I'm referring to, right?
Absolutely.
The 27 Club, for those of you who don't know, is the weird fact that many people, many creative forces from the world of music have died at the age of 27. So I only knew of five, but somebody just put out on MSN, they put out a list of all these musicians. Now, some of them are not as well-known as others.
Let's do the ones we know.
All right. Hold on. I'll checklist this because I think you're going to know. You're probably going to get pretty much the same ones that I got and maybe one or two others. But there's some that are very, very famous. And you say to yourself, that is a weird coincidence that so many driving forces in music all died at the same age. So let's go through them.
I have the same five you have, I'm sure.
You do, right? There's
a couple of Jimmys.
Yeah, there's a couple of Jimmys.
Jim Morrison of The Doors, Jimi Hendrix of Jimi Hendrix.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin also died at the age of 27. That was back in 1970. Kurt Cobain is on that list, yeah.
Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse is the newest member of the list. And there's one other that I got that you haven't mentioned so far.
I don't know. Who didn't you get that I mentioned? Because you said you had five and I gave you five.
Who didn't I get?
Amy Winehouse.
I forgot Kurt Cobain, but he belongs on there. Yeah. All right, so the other one has to do with the Rolling Stones.
Keith Moon.
No, Brian Jones.
Brian Jones
was 27. All right, so, yeah, those are the ones. Wait, they don't list. Oh, yeah, here's Kurt Cobain. I'm sorry. So they do list Amy Winehouse. They do list Kurt Cobain. They do list. There's another one that I forgot about that I did know. Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and then Brian Jones. I got that one, too.
All right, I didn't get Brian Jones. I feel bad.
Graham Parsons. was 27 when he died. That was back in 1973. He was a member of the Byrds, among other bands. He was also in the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Yes. I just bought my son Michael a Flying Burrito Brothers
They're pretty good.
Shirt.
They're pretty good.
I forgot. He was only 27.
Yeah. Now, they go on to list another 14 or 15 people.
But really?
I hate to admit this. You will know some of these, I believe, but I didn't know any of these.
I may not, Bill.
Ricky Edwards was a Welsh musician with the British alt-rock band The Manic Street Preachers. Mm-mm. I'm not familiar with them. Kristen Pfaff. Do you know who that is?
I know that name.
She was a member of Hole. Yeah.
With Courtney Love. Yeah, all right.
So she was 27. Pete DeFreitas was a member of Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh, I didn't know
who
that.
Are really good, but I didn't know him. He died in a motorcycle accident in Liverpool in 1989. Jean-Michel Basquiat. I don't know who that is, but he was a collaborator of David Bowie's. A person named Dennis Boone, was a sessions player, killed in an accident on a highway in Arizona.
Who did he play with, does it say?
Because
session musicians can play with a little bit
of everybody.
D. Boone.
The Minutemen.
Oh, okay.
The punk and alternative rock band, The Minutemen. Jacob Miller was a Jamaican reggae artist.
Never heard of him.
I don't know who that is either.
I'm sorry for your loss, though.
On all of these, I feel bad for not knowing who these people are, but their point was to illustrate, even though we all know five or six, there's realistically 30 people who all died at the age of 27. I don't know Chris Bell's work.
Where is he from? What does he do? What's his middle name?
He worked with Alex Chilton in a two-person band called Big Star.
All right.
New Zealand keyboardist Gary Fain played in the Keith Hartley band.
Who?
And also was a member of Uriah Heep.
Oh.
Pete Ham was with Badfinger. Dave Alexander was in the
Alexander's
Who.
Ragtime Band?
No.
He was in The Who?
He went to England to hear The Who.
Oh,
and then,
that's a big difference.
Now they're stretching it. If it's just people who have heard musicians in the past, that's too big of a list. He went to England to hear The Who, and while there, he met the handsome Iggy Pop, Wendy, and that's what did him in.
Okay, but what did he do musically?
He was at
a Who show?
No, he was in the Stooges.
Oh, with Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
And the Stooges. All right, that explains it.
Yes. And then there's others, but like I said, I feel sad mentioning their names because I don't know who they are.
Well, somebody does, and they deserve to be mentioned with the others.
Pigpen McKernan, Wendy.
I know who Pigpen is.
Who is that?
From The Grateful Dead?
Yes. I was not aware of his work. And you would think with a name like that, it would stick to me, but I didn't know Pigpen McKernan.
27, wow.
Leslie Harvey.
No.
Co-founder of the Crows. Not the Black Crows.
Right.
Just the regular Crows. He died in 1969. And it mentions here on a rainy day. I'm not sure why it mentions that, but...
Makes it more somber.
It's more romantic somehow to die on a rainy day.
Because the sky was crying. How old was Stevie Ray Vaughan?
That's true.
He was older than 27.
Considerably older.
Yeah.
I would say...
I just wanted to put him in the club.
I can't even get him in because it's. I think he had to be late 30s, early 40s, right? Linda Jones of the Jones Singers was only 27. Alan Wilson, who was nicknamed the Blind Owl.
Was he from, don't tell me. No, I was going to say Canned Heat, but no.
His nickname, the Blind Owl, came because at night he wore that night thing over his eyes and he accidentally ate a mouse. Did you know that?
No.
He was one of the co-founders of Canned Heat.
I just said that.
You were right then. You get full credit.
Gone up the country.
Yeah.
He sang that.
That's his work. Rudy Lewis was only 27, Wendy.
Not sure who that is.
He was a member of the Drifters.
Oh, man.
He replaced Ben E. King as the lead singer of the Drifters. Rudy Lewis was only 27 when he died in 1964. Jesse Belvin is a member of the 27 Club.
Belviv DeVoe.
No, but boy, that's a better guess. That is a great guess.
Thank you.
It was a car accident that took his life. He was an R&B singer, songwriter, and pianist. He worked for indie labels. And then the last one is Robert Johnson, who was a legendary blues musician.
Yeah.
Yeah. His songs include Sweet Home Chicago.
27, man.
He is acknowledged. He is the king of the Delta blues singers.
I didn't realize he only lived to 27.
Yeah.
Thank God we passed that.
So what do you think it is about that age? Like, if I was in the world of music, I would, for my entire 27th year, I would stay inside a locked room. I would not go outside.
You'd be a great musician, by the way.
How did he die?
Is Bill touring?
He suffocated in a room. He wouldn't leave the room for a year, and he died.
Yeah. You got to go on tour. 27 is that year, I think, where you're on the cusp of 30, and you think you're not going to, nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, these people were under the influence of something at that age.
In a lot of cases, you're right. There's a lot of car crashes. I don't remember any of the ones we mentioned. None of them were airplane crashes, right?
No.
I don't think so. So, yeah, you had some drug abuse. Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain.
Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Janis Joplin.
Yeah. So drugs are bad for you at 27 in a car.
And maybe the drugs led to a car accident.
Yeah.
I hope we make it to the 57 Club.
Who's in the 50?
I don't know. I'll look that up for later.
Do you have a list of names from the 57 Club?
I'll look it up.
I'm embarrassed that I didn't know a man whose name was Pigpen.
Yeah, but you're not a deadhead, and I only know that because played Grateful Dead music on radio stations before. Not a big Deadhead, gotta tell you the truth.
No.
Saw him once, and
that was enough for you?
That was right before Jerry Garcia died at Soldier Field, and I bought a whole new tie-dyed dress and everything, and I was very uncomfortable. It was really hot, and the whole concert was one song.
Can I make an awful confession to you?
Yes.
I like Cherry Garcia more than I like Jerry Garcia.
Good for you. I'm with you.
I'm embarrassed to say that out loud, but it's true. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Judy Pilak has coming up in the news. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Do you remember this song, Judy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did it on the teeter-totter.
This isn't a good teeter-totter song.
Too fast.
Too fast, yeah.
You'll blow out a knee.
All right. Well, some might think he's a fox. I think he's Jerry. Jerry Nunn is a contributor and photographer for the weekly newspaper Windy City Times. Works for the website GoPride.com, Edge Media, nationally syndicated columnist. You've done thousands of celebrity interviews, and you can go to his website, Nunn on the Run, Nunn with two N's. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
All right, so you brought some rum in here. What's going on in the world of rum this week?
So we have, this weekend, we have Rum Fest. It's the third annual Midwest Rum Festival. It's at the Logan Square Auditorium, and there's different packages where you could stay longer. There's shorter versions of it, but I brought some Havana Club Puerto Rican rum. It's an Añejo Clásico aged rum that you guys can taste.
It smells rummy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. That's a good rum usually does, right? I'm hoping.
Yeah. And so people get to try all these different rums at this vendor after vendor. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
So is it one of these things where you pay one admission fee and then...
Right, there's different sections. There's like a $35 fee for part of, like, for an hour or two. And then there's longer. You could do $70 and spend the whole day there.
Oh.
Hopefully you'd be lit by the end of the day.
Best value.
That would be a lot of rum.
Yeah.
What kind of rum is this?
This is, it's an Añejo Puerto Rican rum.
It's really good. Judy, did you have some? It's very, very strong.
Yes.
It's
I don't like the way it smells, but it's pretty smooth.
Because why? Your body?
Smells like rum.
Yeah. Hard liquor just, I don't want to smell it, but I want to drink it.
Yeah. So to cut back on that, you would usually add some lime to it or something, right?
Right. So I brought some lime and then Coke. You can make a Cuba Libre, which is... really just a rum and Coke.
Yeah.
But it's a fancy name.
Oh, and you add a little lime to it?
Yeah.
It's really smooth. See, rum to me is very strong, and it is strong, but it's pretty smooth.
And it's gold, isn't
it's
it?
Gold
it's
rum,
usually,
yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Color.
Well, there's white rum.
I have Bacardi rum here.
Red rum.
Yep.
The Bat.
Right. So
there's
we have
Bat on the Bacardi.
So, so it should be a lot of fun. A lot of experts will be there, guest speakers.
Can you bring the whole family, Jerry?
Well,
no, I just thought I'd ask.
It might be, I have some other events that we can bring kids to.
All right.
So I always keep that in mind. And I did want to say it's National Beer Day tomorrow. And
every day is National Beer Day for me.
So there's dollar beers at Chop Steakhouse. There's all kinds of specials all over the city for that.
Excellent.
So, speaking of kids, let's go to the kids stuff.
Yes.
Aladdin opens up April 19th. So that's coming up. And that goes all the way through September.
It looks good. I keep seeing clips for it. It looks like what you would hope Aladdin would be.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm talking to the book and lyric person tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'll learn more about the show because I haven't seen it as I've been here. So
I have never even seen the movie of Aladdin.
Oh, you got to see it. It's so good. Julie Andrews isn't in it. Wendy, you have nothing to worry about.
You hate Julie Andrews?
I don't hate Julie Andrews.
Just refuses to see anything she's a part of.
No, that's not true. I never saw The Sound of Music, and I thought, why should I bother now?
Oh, I've got to bring you on.
That's why you should bother.
Look at some of my favorites. That is one of my favorites.
Although I know all the songs, even my teenage boys have seen it. I never saw it.
And Mary Poppins?
I have not.
Thoroughly Modern Millie?
No, the only
SOB?
No, but the movie I did see.
I was calling
see...
Jerry an SOB.
Oh,
wait, you haven't seen Mary Poppins?
No.
Julie Andrews is in it. I think that's almost worse than the other one.
The Princess Diaries? You didn't see that?
No.
Okay, come on.
I saw Victor Victoria and I thought it was terrible and I walked out of it.
You were right. Victoria was terrible.
And then I didn't really like Julie Andrews since then. Although that I should have seen it prior to that. My mom never showed me any of the classics.
She was afraid to.
Why?
She was afraid you would become so enamored with Julie Andrews that you would go to Hollywood and want to emulate her. She was protecting you.
And both of those movies are just great stories. They're such good stories.
Yeah.
It's not really about Julie Andrews.
Wendy, they would change your life. You got to see. Come on.
Someday.
Come to Jerry and I every year do a Julie Andrews film festival at the
Music
Beam.
Box.
Yeah, we show them on the Beam.
Well, they do do the Sound of Music where you can sing along
at the Music Box.
I'm certainly not having that be my first
time. This is so disappointing.
I'll see it someday.
All right.
All right.
And then I wanted to get back to you about the Jurassic World thing inside the Field Museum.
I can't wait about that.
So, I found out more details because I was not sure about it, but it starts May 26th. So I have a little bit of time to start getting, tickets and stuff. The information's at Jurassic World on the fieldmuseum.com site, but that goes through January 7th.
And we'll see big dinosaurs and such.
They say the most accurate dinosaurs that have ever been on a show like this, because there's been other touring companies that come to your town and they bring you dinosaurs. But everyone's saying that the audio animatronics used in this are second to none. So I can't wait to see it.
And I think we're going to talk to somebody Monday about that to find out everything we need to know, because it does sound really cool.
Yeah, good.
And you said late May on that, Jerry? May 20-something?
Right. Yeah, so we have some time on that for tickets. It's not expensive, though. It's only $15 for
adults. Bargain to see dinosaurs.
What is this horse show I'm seeing all the billboards for and everything? Okay, it looks unique.
Yeah,
the best show in the world.
The horse show
the
is?
That's what the billboards
are. Oh, so
best
it must
show
be.
Ever.
Yeah. So, so I'm going Sunday to it.
Odysseo?
Odysseo.
Oh.
Wendy. I wasn't sure how to say it.
Julie Andrews told me how to say it.
No, come on.
But this is a Cavalia production. It's a $30 million production. So
oh, that's
big
too
deal.
Expensive. I'm
it's
not that going
big
to that.
Tent that you see. You saw the big white tent by McCormick Place. So the horses come running in. There's water involved.
They surf.
It's a huge
deal. No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They act out The Sound of Music. That's what they will be doing.
And they plunge off a diving board into a little pool.
I got to see this.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I mean, they have VIP packages where you can have dinner and drinks and all kinds of great stuff. I mean, the tickets range from like $34 to $269.
Is it up to you? I'd take the $30
one. Depends on the seat.
Well, if you want to.
All right. Well,
you want to go on the cheap.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because it's on the lakefront, right? It's in that big tent by
right,
Soldier
it's the
Field.
Big tent.
So it's,
yeah.
That'd be a nice venue.
Soldier Field South Lots.
Yeah.
What do so they do?
The horses are running.
Tricks.
Running of the horses.
Yes.
They do tricks and dancing. They're not the dancing
formation.
Horses.
They probably do a lot of dancing, right? What else do they do?
You got to go.
There's water.
Can they swim?
Yeah.
Horses. Wow. You're going to see all the screens. There's a huge screen that's like 8,000 feet high. So
good golly.
See a lot.
They show horse movies.
Yeah.
My friend Flicka.
With Julie Andrews.
All right, I'm in.
So we have that.
Yeah.
I also want to tell you guys about Strangest Things, the musical. Did you guys watch Stranger Things?
Stranger
Things from Netflix.
Yes.
This musical is opening.
I have to see
that.
Based
on that?
That has taken the world by storm. How many episodes were there when
I think 10, right? 8 or 10?
It was pretty small.
Yeah.
They have been renewed for a second season. The promo got everybody all excited, and really it's just music and a couple of visions.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing thing that captured so many people, and now they're doing Stranger Things, the musical.
The musical, right. This is going to be at the Greenhouse Theater.
Is this sanctioned by the producers of Stranger Things, or is this...
I'm sure they had to get permission.
They have to, or they'd be shut down, wouldn't they?
Just the name alone.
Yeah. Every once in a while, like there was a Sopranos show here in town for a little while that was not sanctioned by HBO. and they let that run. And even remember the real life Brady Bunch? The producers of the Brady Bunch weren't thrilled about it.
But they didn't stop them?
I don't think they stopped them here, but I think in other cities they put a halt to it.
That's how Jane Lynch got her start. Was that
she played Mrs. Brady in that.
She was really, I heard she was great.
All right, so how do they do the musical of Stranger Things? I can't wait.
I know.
Is it all kids?
No, because you got to have Matthew Modine.
Yeah, well, but not a writer.
She looks like a kid.
She really does.
Those crazy eyes.
She's crazy in like every episode, too. She's like frazzled, and it's like, oh, there she is.
But her character is not as crazy as Winona Ryder is in real life.
Well, only when she stands on stage. Accepts an award.
I know.
Yeah. All right, and that's the what theater?
That is at the Greenhouse Theater. It's opening up soon. It's next April 14th.
Boy, did they hurry that.
Yeah.
Because that show was just out a few months ago.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, so
I might want to see that.
Yeah, I can get us some tickets if you want to go.
All right, I'll go with you. But no Julie Andrews.
No, Julie Andrews is not in it, Jerry, right?
No, Julie Andrews is singing in that production. No way.
Good. All right, well, that all sounds good. Is there anything else we're leaving out?
Pretty good on that. I'm going to a new Steppenwolf show this weekend. Oh, music-wise, we forgot. Okay, so Rufus Wainwright's coming tonight.
He's good.
And tomorrow. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, sure.
City Winery.
City Winery, historical family, you know, and he's bringing, I think he's bringing his sister.
Is he Loudon Wainwright's son?
He's his
son.
Yeah. Yeah, he's his gay son. His music is great. I've always loved it.
Very talented.
So it's a small space, and I've seen him perform there before. And, you know, he's a piano player, so he really brings it.
And City Winery is very small and intimate. It really is sometimes too small and intimate, but it's if you can get tickets, it's really a great place to see someone.
Absolutely.
What if you want to do a yoga class somewhere?
Oh, yes, yoga class.
This is bizarre.
I thought this was fun. So I went to the little preview for the 360 series at, we're doing this at the John Hancock, and they are do yoga classes up there.
What a view.
A 360 degree view. That's every Saturday from 9:30 to 10:30. So, and they're $25.
That's it.
So there you go. It's not.
I love yoga. I'm terrible at it because it takes quite some time to get things figured out, but I love doing it. And imagine looking out there at the beautiful city
on the observation deck.
It would inspire you.
Yeah.
That's why aren't you doing this? You should do it. Why wouldn't you do it?
Too far.
No.
94th floor.
Do it on top of Wendy's house? Is there a way they could relocate it?
How many floors do you have, Wendy?
Two.
Oh, two. Well,
not
good luck competing with the 94th floor. but they have art they do up there, happy hours, Tripod Mondays.
Now he's talking our...
Tripod Mondays. Bill, you should go to that.
I would go to that. Judy, write that down, that Wendy just said that, because I'm suing her. All right, well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
All of it until Wendy took it into the alley. But the rest was great. Jerry, thank you so much.
Thanks
and
for having me.
If people want to hear more about your interviews and everything you've done, None on the Run is the way to go.
Yes.
All these things are listed?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jerry Nunn. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
I can't drink straight rum if I can just say that. I'm not. I always watch people in movies where they pour a drink and they just sip it and throw it back.
Yeah.
I mean, unless I'm doing a shot of something, I like to have a drink that doesn't taste like there's a lot of alcohol in
it. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
So, would you like this?
No.
Okay.
That's nice of you.
Kevin, you want my rum?
I guess.
It doesn't have an umbrella in it.
It's añejo?
Yes.
I like añejo things.
Sold.
I just know that for tequila, that's the only thing. I've never heard about añejo rum.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I'll give it a try.
All right.
Smooth.
Yeah. Yep. Do you remember on Friday, I said I had the story that could potentially change mankind?
Oh, my God, yes.
And we didn't get to it. And I received a couple of emails from people who said,
Didn't you do it on Monday?
I totally forgot.
I'm not supposed to keep track of this stuff. It's your
story. I totally
forgot.
I don't know what was going on. And somebody, because I had challenged you and said, this story is so important that you and I need to come in tomorrow.
I showed up, by the way.
I was here, too. I didn't see you.
You were not here.
I was here.
Liar.
But a couple people texted in and said, you can't say that there's a story out there that will potentially change mankind and not report on that story. So point well taken. I have the story here, but I don't think we have time, Wendy.
I am going to kick you in the shin
And then you can go to HR.
I'm glad you chose Shin, because my money was not on Shin.
I'm not that mean.
Yeah. All right. I will share the story with you, but I'm telling you right now.
We have time.
I'm not trying to cause panic in telling you this. I'm just saying if this could happen, boy, is this an ugly finish to all of us. Listen to the story. And this comes from scientists, Wendy, and nobody knows more than scientists. Scientists have determined that if spiders ate humans, and they don't, but if they did eat humans, they would eat all of us in a year. That if spiders decided, if spiders got together at their annual spider convention in Florida, and they said...
Is that where all conventions are?
Yeah, Port St. Lucie, Florida. And they said, enough of this eating flies. We've been doing this for a long time.
We need something bigger and better.
Let's eat big. Let's go with the humans. We tried the flies and we enjoyed the flies, but from here on in, we're going to eat humans. It would take a year and there would be no more humans.
The whole world.
Gone. Spiders would eat them all. Eat us all.
All right. That scares me on many accounts.
It should.
The first one being, there are that many spiders in this world.
Oh, yeah.
Because one spider, like a little tiny one that you see in your house that's up in the corner that you say eek and your wife has to go kill.
Yeah.
That could...
Wait, are you supposed to say eek when you see a spider? Because we only say it when we see mice.
I say it's universal. When I see
you
a critter.
See a foreign animal or insect.
Eek! You know,
Eek.
You kind of do that.
Yep.
That one tiny little spider could not eat your whole body.
I don't think... No, because what you're seeing is just those little...
Cute ones.
Yeah, the adorable ones.
Adorable. They're not really that cute either.
You're not seeing the hairy, I'll turn on you in a second spider exists.
It would take the... I mean, I guess there'd have to be like 10 to 50 spiders on you to destroy you.
Yeah, and they might go about it like in shifts. Like in your sleep, they might... A spider might go, what's your shift? And they go 3 to 5. So then they'd start eating you at 3 a.m. and they'd stop at 5 a.m. And then the morning crew would come in. It's like radio, but there's no crosstalk. Spiders, it says here, and again, this is scientists.
That's scary.
Right. Spiders, and then they clarify what spiders are, those eight-legged, hairy, creepy-crawling, poison-fanged, silk-spinning arachnids are often the stuff of nightmares and horror movies. Spiders primarily eat insects, with the exception of larger spider species that have hearty appetites. They eat lizards or birds or small mammals. A bird? Does a spider eat a bird? I didn't know that.
Like a giant tarantula or something? I mean, there are spiders like as big as your outstretched hand.
Yep.
Why wouldn't they eat a bird?
Boy, that seems big.
Small mammals, I mean, groundhogs, squirrels.
Yep.
Killing them. I don't know. I was going to say killing them would be tough, but you see how quick they move and they strike.
Right. Fast. They go very fast.
I'm kind of intrigued by spiders.
I'm intrigued by them, but still, I wouldn't... Like, did you know anybody who had a pet spider, like a
tarantula
or
yeah.
something? I knew somebody when I was a kid, and he'd always go, just hold it. It's nothing. It's not going to... But why would I want to hold it? There's no part of me that would want to hold a spider.
I held my friend Allison's millipede, but I wouldn't... I stopped at spiders.
That's the line right there.
Because a spider's not supposed to be that big in my head.
No.
It just isn't.
No. No. A Washington Post reporter named Christopher Ingram explored the disturbingly intriguing dilemma this week. If spiders ate humans, how many would they eat?
I love this joke. How many would they
eat?
The
matter came up earlier this month. Here's why. The very scientists I was referring to, these are European biologists, Martin Neifler and Klaus Berghofer, published a paper in the journal Science of Nature estimating the total weight of prey consumed by spiders as a group. Here's what they came up with. Spiders evolved around 400 million years ago.
Wow.
They've been around a long time. And are among the most common and abundant predators in the terrestrial ecosystem.
Ugh.
The annual prey kill of a global spider community is in the range of 400 to 800 million metric tons.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
But you said it with conviction.
It's a big number. 400 to 800 million anything, Wendy, is a lot. You name it. If you have that many of it, that's a bunch. As the Post points out, that's the Washington Post, the weight of what spiders eat in 1 year is more than all the humans on the planet combined.
Good Lord.
So all the spiders combined, if you add up everything they eat, it weighs more than all of us, all the humans combined. They cited a 2012 study that estimated that the total biomass of all adults on Earth is about 287 million tons. More in Wisconsin, in brackets. Even if you tack on another 70 million-ish tons to account for the weight of all kids, it's still not equal to the total amount of food that's being eaten by spiders in any given year, which exceeds the total weight of humanity.
I can't even imagine this.
They're very hungry, spiders. Very hungry.
They're failing to mention, though, that we have feet that can stomp and flamethrowers.
But in this scenario, Kevin, what you say is true.
Is this like us sleeping? They attack
us.
Oh,
they can get you when you're sleeping.
We would either be sleeping or maybe we would somehow be in one of their giant webs and we wouldn't be able to use.
I don't do bugs. I'm not. I had a lizard once.
Yeah.
And I ate crickets and I kept them in my closet. This was in college.
Yeah.
And my roommate had a really pestering little cat that would get into everything. One day when I was sleeping, the cat got into my crickets. I awoke to like four or five crickets crawling on me.
Ugh. Oh, that is gross.
It was nightmare fuel.
That's ugly.
I don't have it. Dylan has two tortoises now. They're Russian tortoises, and they get to be...
They're stealing our secrets. They are. Laugh all you want, Wendy. Those tortoises are stealing our secrets. You know it.
They just eat, like, grass, and they don't eat bugs or anything. All we have to... They really like kale.
Do they?
I know it's really weird, but you have to look. You know, they get tortoise food, and then you look online because there are some things that tortoises can't eat that are poisonous to them. But kale is good, dandelion. So in the summer, I pick some dandelion greens and give it to them in addition to their pellets. But I am intrigued by them. I don't mind holding them, but I know they're not going to eat me.
They don't have. Do they have teeth?
They have like a beak.
They do. Mm-hmm. So they peck at food with their beak and then just take it in. Right?
They chomp down on it, but I mean...
They couldn't bite you if they wanted to.
Oh, they could.
Yeah?
One bit the other one's neck and it was a little bloody.
Ugh.
But then I got two food dishes and they kept... See, because they were fighting over the food.
Oh.
So if you put two food dishes in either side of the enclosure, they didn't... No more biting each other. I am the tortoise whisperer. And I'm finding myself taking more care of them than Dylan is.
Don't let Michael Vick talk you into turtle fights, tortoise fights.
No, I won't.
Don't let him.
But I don't
come around.
If I had to feed them crickets or something like that, I don't think I would have allowed that in my house.
My one friend put a cricket in his lips and had it, because it was a chameleon. She flicked it out of his lips. It was disgusting. And before that even happened, he put it in head first. It was alive. And it bit his lip.
Oh, no.
A
cricket bit his lip. Because he was holding it in his... I mean, he's deranged. But so he flipped it around and put the butt end in first. I don't think that's any better.
No, that's not better at all. It's just...
Well, he won't bite you. He'll do something else. A cricket for $1.49. It'll last for weeks and still burn bright.
Kevin, see if cricket lighters want to sponsor our bonus hour.
Thousands of sure fire lights. And a flame that adjusts to different heights. Get a cricket.
Sometimes people will text in and they'll say, how come you guys lost your regular radio show?
It's the rum.
What happened? Why did you guys lose it?
I had one sip. It's not. It's just.
I think that's why.
Do you remember their commercial?
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, I do too. I'm proud of myself. I try to turn you on. That's how it worked.
It worked. I got to take a cold shower now. Stephanie Menendez, assistant program director, into Fire Us now on the radio.
What do you want, Steph?
I have terrible news. Don Rickles has died.
Don't. No.
90 years old, kidney failure.
Oh, Bill, I feel so bad for you.
That is such sad news.
You should be so thankful that you got to meet him and hug him.
Yes.
Did you get his autograph?
I didn't get his autograph, but just meeting him and hanging out with him, that is such horrible news. Oh.
And wasn't he performing, like, fairly recently?
He was in Milwaukee a couple months ago at one of their casinos. That's where we saw him. That's where we saw Don Rickles. Oh, that's awful. I loved him.
Yeah.
Oh, Steph.
We'll get more details and
we'll talk about him tomorrow.
Right? Yep.
And I hate to hear that.
That ruins my cricket song.
Yeah. You know what? Yes.
It took the wind out of my sails, and I know it did yours, because you totally idolized that guy.
Oh, I love Don Rickles.
Be thankful you got to meet him and see him perform.
Did Steph say, I think he was 91, 91?
90?
Yeah. Oh, that's awful.
All right. We will be back tomorrow.
Will you be okay?
I will. Yeah, I am. But he's really one of those guys that just meant the world to me. I loved him.
And surprisingly seemed somewhat healthy for his age. When you saw him, you said
very
he
much.
Wasn't really weak or anything.
He had slowed down a little bit, but, you know.
Well, slowing down a little bit from what he used to be.
Right.
That's normal for the rest of us. Right.
I love
sorry
him.
To hear that.
That's such sad news. All right, we will talk about him tomorrow, Don Rickles, and a full show coming your way tomorrow. So thanks for being here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.